That's Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello, and welcome to 100 Facts About Race. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. And this is an article that can be found in various places online. It doesn't appear to actually have any credits associated with it. It's basically 100 facts about the differences between race. And I may add some commentary of my own to it. And it begins with a quote from Senator Bilbo. Quote, "If our buildings, our highways, and our railroads should be wrecked, we could rebuild them. If our cities should be destroyed, out of the very ruins we could erect newer and greater ones. Even if our armed might should be crushed, we could rear sons who would redeem our power. But if the blood of our white race should become corrupted and mingled with the blood of Africa, then the present greatness of the United States of America would be destroyed, and all hope for civilization would be as impossible for a Negroid America as would be redemption and restoration of the white man's blood, which had been mixed with that of the Negro." Close quote. Senator Theodore G. Bilbo of Mississippi in 1947. Fact number one. The white race has crossed seas, harnessed rivers, carved mountains, tamed deserts, and colonized the most barren ice fields. It has been responsible for the invention of the printing press, cement, the harnessing of electricity, flight, rocketry, astronomy, the telescope, space travel, firearms, the transistor radio, television, the telephone, the light bulb, photography, motion pictures, the phonograph, the electric battery, the automobile, the steam engine, railroad transportation, the microscope, computers, and millions of other technological miracles. It has discovered countless medical advances, incredible applications, and scientific progress. Its members have included such greats as Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, Homer, Tacitus, Julius Caesar, Napoleon, William the Conqueror, Marco Polo, Washington, Jefferson, Hitler, Bach, Beethoven, Mozart, Magellan, Columbus, Cabot, Edison, Graham Bell, Pasteur, Leeuwenhoek, Mendel, Darwin, Newton, Galileo, Watt, Ford, Luther, Da Vinci, Poe, Tennyson, and thousands upon thousands of other notable achievers. Fact number two. Throughout 6,000 years of recorded history, the black African Negro has invented nothing. Not a written language, a weaved cloth, a calendar, a plough, a road, a bridge, a railway, a ship, a system of measurement, or even the wheel. Note, now this is in reference to the pure-blooded Negro. He is not known to have ever cultivated a single crop or domesticated a single animal for his own use, although many powerful and docile beasts abounded around him. His only known means of transporting goods was on the top of his head. For shelter, he never progressed beyond the common mud hut, the construction of which a beaver or muskrat is capable. Now, I'll interject here because you may say, well, what about the Maasai? Don't they have domesticated cows? Well, yes, they do use domesticated cows, but they were domesticated by white people and then taken to Africa by mixed Arab people, which is where these Negroes got the cows from in the first place, the domesticated cows. The Maasai themselves, they don't live in mud huts. They actually live in dung huts. They make their houses out of cow shit. Other people may point out that in Ethiopia, you've got these very well-built African architecture, again, of these mud buildings, but they were built by mongrels. They were built by mulattoes. Yeah, you can look back at what I believe it's Strabo had to write about Ethiopia back in 30 BC, and he talks about there being civilized white people there, very much like the Greeks, and complete savages who were completely uncivilizable, that they couldn't even grow hair. They grew wool, and they used whatever it was that grew on their heads in the same way that white people would use the wool from sheep. And they dug around in the ground for whatever it is they could find to eat. And they were as far removed from the civilized white man as could possibly be. So I think that counteracts any criticisms people may have of saying that the Negro never invented anything, never domesticated animals, and lives in mud huts. Fact number 3, intelligence. The IQ of American Negroes are from 15 to 20 points on average below those of American whites. And that's quite a well-known fact there. Fact number 4. These black-white differences have been demonstrated repeatedly by every test ever conducted by every branch of the US military, every state, every county, and local school board. The US Department of Education. The same ratio of difference has held true over a 40-year period. Fact number 5. With an average IQ of 85, only 16% of blacks score over 100, while half the white population does. The Negro overlap of white median IQs ranges from 10 to 25%, and equality would require 50%. So what that is saying is that whites are on average far more intelligent than blacks. Obviously, you might get an exception to the rule. You might get the odd intelligent black, but what we're talking about here is averages. And the Negroes in Africa have an even lower IQ. And in order to prove that, Professor J.P. Rushton went over to Africa and he tested the most intelligent ones. He went to the university there and IQ tested the most intelligent Negroes he could find, and their average IQ was still 70. And you may say, well, if you have a white person with an IQ of 70, they would be retarded. And yet these Negroes don't act retarded. They're sociable. Sometimes they're more sociable than white people. So how is this? Well, this is because the Negro is supposed to have this low IQ. He can get by with that. Whereas white people are not supposed to be stupid. We're supposed to be intelligent, which is, of course, why it's such a shame what's going on at the moment of lowering our IQ and mingling our blood with these Negroes and turning our people into idiots. Fact number 6. Blacks are 6 times as likely to have IQs of 50 to 70, which put them in the slow learner or retarded category, while whites are 10 times more likely to score 130 or over. Fact number 7. The US government's PACE examination, given to 100,000 university graduates who are prospective professional or administrative civil service employees each year, is passed with a score of 70 or above by 58% of the whites who take it, but by only 12% of the Negroes. Of course, this is why they keep asking for more affirmative action or reverse discrimination, because these Negroes can't actually make the grade. They demand that they should just be allowed to have the job or pass the examination purely because of the colour of their skin. Which, if that isn't racism, then I don't know what is. Among top scorers, the difference between Negro and white performance is even more striking. 16% of the white applicants make scores of 90 or above, while only 0.5% of all Negro applicants score as high as 90. That is a white to black success rate of 80 to 1. Fact number 8. Differences between Negro and white children increase with chronological age, the gap in performance being largest at the high school and college levels. Now, this is often a cause of why mudsharks will believe that their little nigglet is in actual fact a child genius, because the nigglet is so much more cleverer than the other kids in the class. And this is because the Negro matures at a faster rate than the white children. So at an early age, the nigglet will appear to be so much more brighter than his school friends. But by the time he gets to about 10 or 11, then the Negro doesn't continue to mature past that stage, which is why Negroes tend to be very childish, because after they get to about that age, that's it. They no longer improve in intelligence and they stay at that level. And the child genius of the mud shark turns out to be a gangster thug with an IQ of 75. Fact number 9. White-Negro IQ differences are constantly excused as the results of environmental variations, but at least 5 studies have attempted to equate socio-economic backgrounds of the two races, and they indicate no significant change in relative results. As the environment improves, the Negro does do better, but so does the white. The gap is not decreased. In fact, extensive research by Dr. G.J. McGurk, Associate Professor of Psychology at Villanova University, reveals that the gap in intelligence between blacks and whites increases where socioeconomic levels of both races are raised to the middle classes. So when the Negroes are better off and they've got a little bit more money, they don't actually tend to do any better, they just tend to be even more lazy. And the gap increases between blacks and whites. Fact number 10. In 1915, Dr. G.W. Ferguson took 1,000 schoolchildren in Virginia, divided them into 5 racial categories, and tested them for mental aptitude. On average, full-blooded Negroes scored 69.2% as high as whites. Three-quarter Negroes scored 73% as high as whites. One-half Negroes scored 81.2% as high as whites. And one-quarter Negroes scored 91.8% as high as whites. All of these blacks lived as and considered themselves as Negroes. Their environments and advantages or disadvantages were exactly the same. So what that is saying is that the more white blood that these Negroes have in them, the higher their IQ is. I would suggest this is probably one of the reasons why some white slave masters bred with their black slaves, so the resulting offspring could be more versatile, used for more different jobs, basically, around the farm. Fact number 11. Results of the Army beta test given by the US Army to over 386,000 illiterate soldiers in World War I showed Negro draftees to be inferior to the whites on all types of tests used in the Army. Additional tests were conducted upon pure Negroes, mulattoes, and quadroons, and it was found that the lighter groups made better scores. And of course, it's whenever you see these magic Negroes that are put on television trying to tell us that they're just like whites, they will always be the light-skinned ones. You will never see any of the jet black ones being interviewed or being put forward as an example of Negro intelligence, because it's only the ones that are mixed with white blood that are capable of being put on the television. I mean, all the time that you will see that there's a Negro actor that's put on a talk show and that has to read a newspaper or discuss the news, and they just can't do it. Not to the standard that white people can do it anyway. Fact number 12. Studies conducted with identical twins raised apart in radically different environments provide conclusive evidence that overall influence of heredity exceeds that of environment in a ratio of about 3 to 1. Again, this is age relevant. Up until about the age of 18, the environment is very important. But each decade after that, you regress further and further towards your family influence, and your genetic influence becomes more important. So by about the time when you get to 40, your environmental influence counts for very, very little. It's all about your genetic heritage. Fact 13. Even when blacks and whites have the same backgrounds, in terms of family income and childhood advantages, blacks still have average IQ scores 12 to 15 points lower than comparable whites. And this includes cases where black children have been adopted by white parents. So they have had these ones that have been adopted by white parents, they've been given everything that white children have, probably even more by these cuckolded white parents. Their IQs may be improved by environment, but they are still closer to their biological parents than their adoptive parents. So even when the black parent has given them up as a baby, and these nigglets have been brought up by white parents all their lives, their IQs will still be determined by their original black parents, not their adoptive cuckolded parents. Fact 14. Egalitarian ideologists often discount IQ test results with the excuse that they are culturally biased. Nonetheless, no one, not the NAACP, nor the United Negro College Fund, nor the NEA, have been able to develop an intelligence test which shows blacks and whites scoring equally. And I would say that, how can you say that IQ tests are culturally biased? A lot of them don't even use language. It's all visual. It's all visual puzzles solving these visual puzzles. The test that J.P. Rushton devised when he went to the African universities, that didn't use language. That was all visual in shapes. Testing abstract thought, basically abstract reasoning. Finding solutions. Fact 15. American Indians, who often live in conditions far worse than American blacks during their entire lives, still consistently outscore them on IQ tests. And don't forget, American Indians, they are lighter skinned than the Negroes. American Indians themselves have a lot of white blood in them. I mean, the American Indian is not a pure race. They never have been pure. They've always been a mongolized race, a mixture of the various races that have colonized America over the last 10,000 years. Fact 16. The offspring of interracial marriages tend to have lower IQs than the white parent. Well, I would say that's just going to be obvious, isn't it, that they're going to have a lower IQ, because half the genetic material comes from a race with a lower IQ. So you can't create something which has more than the sum of its two halves, and the two halves, one of these halves is going to be of a lower sum than the other, obviously. Next subject is the Negro brain. Fact 17. Among human races, numerous studies have been made of the comparative weight of white and Negro brains, with results that fell within the range of about an 8 to 12% lower weight for the Negro brain. Such studies have been conducted by Bean, Pearl, Avint, Tilney, Gordon, Todd, and others. Fact 18. In addition to the difference in brain weight, the Negro brain grows less after puberty than the white. Though the Negro brain and nervous system mature faster than the white brain, its development is arrested at an earlier age, which limits further intellectual advancement. And that's what I was referring to earlier about when they seem to have a higher IQ when they are younger. Fact 19. The thickness of the supragranular layer, the outside layer, of the Negro brain is about 15% thinner, and its convolutions are fewer and more simple on average than that of the white brain. Fact 20. The frontal lobes of the Negro brain, responsible for abstract conceptual reasoning, are smaller relative to body weight, less fissured, and less complex than those of the white brain. Now, when you think about this, these fissures are basically a curvature on the brain, the lines that you see on the brain, that actually makes up more outer mass to the brain. So where white brains have more fissures, there's obviously more brain there than there is with the Negroes. And you can also see the size of the Negro brain just by looking at the skull of the Negro. It's tiny, that little space at the top there that their brain fits into. It's very similar to the gorilla when you look at the shape of the gorilla that just has a small space at the top for the brain. Next up, anthropology. Fact 21. The name Homo sapien was first used by the 18th century Swedish botanist Carolus Linnaeus. The word sapien means wise. The name was originally used to speak of the white man and synonymous with Europaeus. As a result, many later taxonomists and geneticists believed that Negroes and other races should be classified as different species. In fact, Darwin declared in The Descent of Man that the varieties of mankind are so distinct that similar differences found in any other animal would warrant their classification in different species, if not different genera. In fact, before then, I think there was Homo superior and Homo inferior. Fact 22. For his mammoth work, The Origin of Races, Professor Carlton Coon, president of the American Association of Physical Anthropologists and the premier geneticist of the world at the time, assembled massive evidence from geography, anatomy, genetics, physiology, comparative dentition, linguistics, archaeology, and fossil records from 300 bone-bearing sites to verify his theory of pre-sapien raciocination. In other words, Homo erectus was divided by race even before evolution into the Homo sapien stage. So what that is saying, for those of us who believe in evolution, is that bipeds were divided by race even before the what we call the white race today was around, before we even got any evidence of the white race. The bipeds of the earth were divided by race. Fact 23. According to Dr. Coon, while the Caucasoid subspecies, the white race, was evolving in Europe, the Negro race was standing still on the evolutionary plane and is today no less than 200,000 years behind the European in skull and brain development. Of course, I don't believe in evolution. I don't think the Negro is ever going to develop into a white man. I believe he's an entirely separate species. So there would be no need for him to advance. He is what he is. And of course, he hasn't evolved. There's been no change in the Negro from when the Egyptians were writing about them 3,000 years ago. Fact 24. The Negro's skull, in addition to having a smaller brain volume and thicker cranial bones than that of the white, is prognathous, i.e. the lower face projects forward rather in the manner of an animal's muzzle. In consequence, the Negro jaw is substantially longer relative to its width than the white jaw. A feature of the Negro lower jaw is its retention of a vestige of the simian shelf, a bony region immediately behind the incisors. The simian shelf is a distinguishing characteristic of apes, and it is absent in whites. Of course, there are many similarities between the great apes and the Negro. And another one to do with the jaw is the number of teeth that Negroes have. It is not uncommon for them to have 2 to 4 extra teeth than the amount of teeth that white people have. Of course, many of our listeners may have noticed the teeth of Negroes, great big odd-looking teeth that they have, and sometimes looks like they've actually got a problem actually fitting these teeth into the jaw, especially if it's a mulatto. And that's because the Negroes can have 4 more teeth than white people. So if you've got a mixed-race kid, and it's got a rather a lot of white genes there, and then it's got Negro teeth, and these Negro teeth aren't going to fit into the white jaw, you're going to have serious problems. This is why these mulattoes end up having these really ugly teeth and ugly jaws. And of course, the caricatures that are drawn of them highlight this fact. Fact 25. The skin of the Negro is thicker and possibly superior to the whites, in the way it impedes the penetration of germs and in its protection from the ultraviolet rays of the sun. I would say that's because it's not skin, it's a hide. They were never intended to wear clothes. They have no need to wear clothes. The only reason they do wear clothes is to protect the modesty of the white man. Fact 26. The dark colour of the Negro is due to melanin pigment, which is spread through every layer of the skin and is found even in the muscles and the brain. This dark pigment is everywhere, absolutely everywhere, soaks its way throughout the entire body, and it can never be got rid of. A 9th to 10th generation of mulattoes are still going to have this pigment in them. It does not wash out. Fact 27. An African dentist can tell a Negro's tooth from a white man's at a glance. Fact 28. Negroes have arms which are longer relative to body height than those of whites. This feature, together with their much thicker cranial bones, gives black athletes an advantage over whites in boxing. The skeletal and muscular peculiarities of Negroes' lower limbs have given them considerable success as sprinters, but have left them relatively undistinguished as distance runners. And this difference in bodily proportions is also going to lead to problems when you have clothing that's supposedly one size fits all. You've got Negroes with longer legs than white people and shorter chests than white people. Shirts aren't going to fit. Trousers aren't going to fit. And yet they still sell one-size-fits-all clothing. Now, I think the more we have Negroes in our countries, the less it is going to be likely that we're going to be able to find clothing that actually fits us correctly without going to a bespoke tailor, something which we all would have done for ourselves years ago. Anyway, that finishes part one of this short series on the differences between the human races, and I will be back on Monday with part two. Thank you for listening. RadioArian.com.